7 p.m. according to the WMFO digital clock. You are in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. Now at 11:02, according to that very same WMFO digital clock, you are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I'm Belinda, and this is Bubbles in the Think Tank. It's 2.5-ish, but probably closer to 2 hours of radio programming imaginable on this Saturday evening. It's all the silliness you can stomach, all the silliness you can shake your stick at, and we have been double-dunk-daring you since 1990, even when it's not Saturday, right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Coming up in around about an hour and 10 minutes, we'll call it the midnight 10 hour. It will be time for the radio obituaries. It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days and weeks. Things are a little different tonight, because tonight is not tonight. It's not even today. It's days before. It's after midnight that I'm recording this program tonight. I am trying to get this thing done before I leave and go leaf peeping. Because I deserve it. I deserve some time off. I deserve an opportunity to not be working and not doing the things that I have to do each and every day. So that's what's about to happen, and I am trying to get this show out so that you, the listener, will have something to do on Saturday night. I'm not even going to be listening. I'm not listening right now. So I hope that's okay by you. We're going to have to leave tonight's episode in the capable hands of our titular head of research, Marshall Frederick Stockwell Jr., over there at the Bubbles in the Think Tank Facebook chat group. I'm sure he will be able to corral you all appropriately. All that said, that means tonight's show is probably somewhere in the vicinity of a hot mess. Because I make these snap decisions, I pull things together, and we see what comes out the other side. So let's find out together right now how this episode rolls right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Breeze blows leaves off. the musty collagella. So I sweep them in my sack. Yes, 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 it's my autumn almanac. Friday evenings, people get together, hiding from the weather. Tea and toasted buttered currant buns can't compensate for lack of sun, because the summer's all gone.
Pumpkinhead, here's one your great-great-granddaddy taught my great-great-granddaddy. You want to put down them dishes and help me with this one?
I'll say I do.
Under a pumpkin moon in 1863, Mr. and Mrs. Lincoln stopped to rest by a tree. The sky began to flash, a storm was brewing down south. Abe pulled his wife close to him, put his hand to her mouth. But John Wilkes Booth, it seems, had followed Abe and his wife. He hoped to shoot poor Lincoln, take the president's life. But when he raised his gun, he saw a bright flash of red. He shot a thousand pumpkins, not the president's head. And they went ha 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 ha, ha 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 ha, ha.
Are so nice. Ginger's a beauty, spice is a cutie. I can't make my mind up, tell me who should it be? Which little she's better for me? Ginger and spice, oh, both are so nice. But if I choose one, I'm bound to lose one. So why marry either and be peppered with rice when I can have ginger and spice? Ginger Reap or ginger and spice, both are so nice. But if I choose one, I'm bound to lose one. So why marry either and be peppered with rice when I can have ginger? I can have ginger. I can have ginger and spice.
Loretta's a sweater girl now. Loretta's a better girl now. How does she steal away each fella's heart? She's got two outstanding reasons. She's cute and she's smart. Loretta, Loretta, what she does for a sweater. Loretta is a sweater girl now. Loretta is really a wow. Loretta is in there and how. A shepherd from Denver let out with a peep. The wool looks better on Loretta than it did on the sheep. A mountaineer who climbs just for danger and thrills said he'd rather do his climbing up in them thar hills. Loretta, Loretta, what she does for a sweater. Loretta is a sweater girl now. The fellas all like her too much, so she hollers, look but don't touch. A guy at the circus who was selling balloons saw Loretta and decided that balloons were for goons. A bookie from Miami who stopped for a chat said that he'd like to grab a daily double like that. Loretta, Loretta, what she does for her sweater. Loretta is a sweater girl now. Loretta is really a hit, though she stretches a point quite a bit. When she says that she could get much more than her share, but she says her sweater will not stand the wear and the tear. The fellas all whistle when she walks in the breeze. She's got an ice cream cone figure, two scoops, if you please. Loretta, Loretta, what she does for a sweater. Loretta is a sweater girl now. A bombardier threw up his cap and said, put targets like those on my map. The Army Air Corps tried to make a three-point landing, but it was no good, 'cause she insisted on standing. Whenever she passes by, the Navy boys squeal. Then they lie awake at night and wonder, can it be real? She looked pretty in a midi, but did better in a sweater. So Loretta's a sweater girl. It pays to advertise, especially if a girl has got the merchandise. Since Loretta put on a sweater, she's the biggest thing in town.
Autumn in New York, why does it seem so inviting? Autumn in New York, it spells the thrill of first nighting. Glittering crowds and shimmering clouds and canyons of steel, they're making me feel like I'm home. It's autumn in New York that brings the promise of new love. Autumn in New York is often mingled with pain. Dreamers with empty hands may sigh for exotic lands. It's autumn in New York. It's good to live it again. cafes who lunch at the Ritz will tell you that it's divine. This autumn in New York transforms the slums into Central Park. Greet autumn in New York. It's good to live it again.
for life, boy, and it did it to you, and it did it to Zoo. And it can do it for me, and it can do it for you.
Moonlight on Vermont.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Don't give me no affliction. That old time religion is good enough for me.
Good enough for you. Well, come out to show them. 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 Get that old time religion. Give me that old time. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Without your new affliction, don't need your new restriction. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
Moonlight on Vermont.
If you give me your number, sweetie pie, I'll call. Swinging ball.
Well, then he kept on walking on down the beach, but he was still within eye's reach. And then he stopped by a girl with eyes of blue, and then he took her number two. Well, what does a lifeguard do in the fold? I wanna know that most of all. What does a lifeguard do in the fold?
Man, ain't you got no imagination at all?
Thank you.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. I don't know what's going on here. Why do you expect that I know what's going on here right now? I'm doing a radio show many days in advance. I'm doing it really fast, but I'm doing it for you, the listener, because I love you and I want to make sure you've got something to do on Saturday night. I'm not saying you don't have things to do on Saturday night. That is not what I am saying at all. I am saying thank you for choosing this, Bubbles in the Think Tank, as the thing that you want to do. You're the best like that. So much more silliness to go until we get to the radio obituaries. I hope you're enjoying every little bit of it right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
On our way back to the motel after Friday's races, I warned Stedman about some of the other problems we'd have to cope with. Neither of us had brought any strange illegal drugs, so we would have to get by on booze. "You should keep in mind," I said, "that almost everybody you talk to from now on will be drunk. People who seem very pleasant at first might suddenly swing at you for no reason at all." He nodded, staring straight ahead. He seemed to be getting a little numb, and I tried to cheer him up by inviting him to dinner that night with my brother. Back at the hotel, we talked for a while about America, the South, England. Just relaxing a bit before dinner. There was no way either of us could have known at the time that it would be the last normal conversation we would have. From that point on, the weekend became a vicious, drunken nightmare. We both went completely to pieces. The main problem was my prior attachment to Louisville, which naturally led to meetings with old friends, relatives, etc., many of whom were in the process of falling apart, going mad, plotting divorces, cracking up under the strain of terrible debts, or recovering from bad accidents. Right in the middle of the whole frenzied derby action, a member of my own family had to be institutionalized. This added a certain amount of strain to the situation, and since poor Stedman had no choice but to take whatever came his way, he was subjected to shock after shock. Another problem was his habit of sketching people he met in the various social situations that dragged him into. The results were always unfortunate. I warned him several times about letting the subject see his foul renderings, but for some perverse reason, he kept doing it. Consequently, he was regarded with fear and loathing by nearly everyone who'd seen or even heard about his work. He couldn't understand it.
It's sort of a joke. In England, it's quite normal. People don't take offense. They understand that I'm just putting them on a bit.
Fuck England, I said. These people regard what you're doing to them as a brutal, bilious insult. Look what happened last night. I thought my brother was going to tear your head off.
Stedman shook his head sadly.
but I liked him. He struck me as a very decent, straightforward sort.
Look, Ralph, let's not kid ourselves. That was a very horrible drawing you gave him. It was the face of a monster. It got on his nerves very badly. Why in hell do you think we left the restaurant so fast?
Well, I thought it was because of the mace.
What mace?
When you shot it at the head waiter, don't you remember?
Hell, that was nothing. I missed him, and we were leaving anyway.
But it got all over us. The room was full of that damn gas. Your brother was sneezing and his wife was crying. My eyes hurt for 2 hours. I couldn't see to draw when we got back to the motel.
That's right. Stuff got on her leg, didn't it?
She was angry.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's just figure we fucked up about equally on that one. But from now on, let's be careful when we're around people I know. You won't sketch them, and I won't mace them. We'll just try to relax and get drunk.
Right. We'll go native.
Are dead and gone. Mr. Charlie's got it in for you, and you fear your time ain't long. The gallows pole is waiting, and you fear your time ain't long. There's a lich bob coming for you, and you fear your time ain't long. But it's hard to feel for you when you got that rug thing on. We get you feeling evil, that you're way past half past dead. But man, you look so silly with that roadkill on your head.
Roadkill on your head.
Roadkill on your head. You had us, but you lost us. We were with you all the way. You can't trust a blues man who wears a toupee. Did you think we wouldn't notice? Did you think we'd let it slide? Did you make it out of 99 hamsters that done died? Have you thought about our kerchief? Or letting a do-rag do what it does? Or get that stuff they sell on TV, you know, that can of spray-on fuzz.
Can of spray-on fuzz.
For your troubles and sorry for your woe, but that hairy hat drops your credibility to 9 below 0. We hear you're poor and lonesome and your life is one raw deal, but take the money from this gig, man, and go buy one that looks real. Trust a blues man. No, you can't trust a blues man. Mm-mm. You can't trust a blues man who wears a toupee. Nope. It's such a distraction. I mean, it's not polite to point, but... you know, I mean, the light hits you the right way, and it's the wrong way.
I've been so lonely, man. 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 I've been so lonely, man.
The Teardrop Motel. I keep going, the Teardrop Motel.
At the television studios of Amalgamated Broadcasting, Mary, Harry, Pop, and Calvin are discussing their forthcoming game show, Pick Your Brains, as the producer, Greg Marlowe, secretly in love with Mary, arrives with some big news.
Well, I have big news, but it's not necessarily good news. I wonder if you could all come around here.
Oh, yeah, sure, Greg.
Right, Mr. Marlowe.
You seem to be wrong, sir.
You've got a kind of a confused expression on your face.
Hope it has nothing to do with the show.
No, does it, Greg?
Well, it does, in a certain respect, have something to do with the show.
We just had a pretty good run-through with Calvin here doubling as Mr. Music, which he will be on the show, and as a dummy contestant.
Oh, did you? Well...
Got good reaction from the crew, too, Mr. Marlowe. They all applauded, laughed.
They seemed to think that it moved nicely. Of course, a run-through is never an actual measure for the product itself, the show itself. Very encouraging. Yes, we thought it was... It was good.
And, of course, once we get to put the sponsor's message in the right place in the show, it'll look more professional than it does right now. Right now, it's kind of scraggly.
That brings me to the point.
What, scraggly?
No, the commercial. I had a deal, I thought, arranged with a big nut person. By that, I mean big nut man.
Yes.
And it was going to be his first advertising and television, this particular show. And,
well, come on, Mr. Marlowe, speed it up a little bit. Don't keep us waiting in suspense like this.
You mean he's had second thoughts, is that it, Mr. Marlowe?
He doesn't want to sponsor the show now, is that it, Greg?
Well, his accountant advised him that this was not the right time to go on the air with nut commercials.
Gee, you know, you're kind of dashing our enthusiasm, our elan, right to the floor.
I beg your pardon?
I say you're kind of dampening our elan that we had for the show.
Yeah, that's the way I was going to say it. Our elan was really dampened.
I mean, we kind of hit a high point there in our run-through.
It isn't often that we get our elan dampened, but when it is, it's serious.
My elan is dampened somewhat, too, although I'm not in the show.
Well, my, elan was completely destroyed when I heard that news. However, I have something else on the hook, and it may work. Let me ask you this.
Yes, Greg.
Would you all be willing to go on the air on a sustaining basis?
And so Greg gets to the crux of the problem and asks if our friends would go on the air unsponsored. You'll learn the answer in the next episode when we'll hear Mary say...
Not on your life.
That's in the next exciting episode of Mary Backstage Noble Wife. Word Carr speaking.
Meet me. autumn in Philly. The bees are on the ground. I'm light as a leper. How can we hang on to a hat? The gondolas, the wood shoes, Puppet Joe, and Delaware. The astronauts are waving from those old electric chairs. Ooh, all these things or more. I don't remember all these things I hate or love, depending. Every time I swallow a blue jay by mistake, I choke.
Lesson, all right, and that means we've got time to sit back now and listen to Cocktail and the lovely Glamorama Girls as they take a walk and discover a bench in the park.
Just the other day, I heard two ladies say, in a very, very woebegone way.
Juliet, I'm quite sure didn't have to pet upon a hardwood bench. In the park.
This is. Oh, I missed my
line. The Aphrodite up above, and all the scenery of love, and things like that so helpful to hugs and kisses. But you and I, my dear, need no such atmosphere. A bench in the park, unromantic and plain. A bench in the park can be our lover's lane.
Oh, get away.
Get away, get away.
Get away, get away.
White Women on Vermont. It's no longer Benson's Drugstore, it's Alvarez Botanica, and the old white women walk alone through crowds of young Latins, like forgotten relics of a past world, frowning at loud radios and the babies crying from apartment windows. The old white women on Vermont wait on bus stops wearing musty gray day coats and large black hats, wait for something, their pink skin sweating in the brown heat.
WMFO in Medford, stereo.